Welcome to our broadcast today. We've been right in the middle of our study on current events, archaeology, and news stories that confirm that we're living in the last days. And we saw that the Bible talked about the importance of the Temple Mount, but we also saw that the Bible said that among the things important would be Israel back in the land, people interested in Jerusalem, but particularly the Temple Mount. And remember, we talked a little bit about a man by the name of Vindel Jones. He's the real story that of the archaeology in the Bible. But Hollywood made Vindel Jones. And the fact that even Newsweek and Time magazine carried articles about a red heifer. And you can download those from our website. Go to the tab that says Downloads and you can get those. But this is so important because, you see, they can't begin the sacrifices until they have the ashes of a red heifer. And that's why Israel is so excited and so involved, and here's why. Because, you see, recently, a man in Texas, a friend of Israel, they have been trying to breed red heifers that are totally red. Every hair is red. Even the nostril hairs are red, and around the udders are red. And so it turns out that they've bred a number of these, but Israel would only allow you to bring five of them in from the United States because you could bring in five pets, you could bring in five dogs or five cats, and so they brought in five red heifers, and they've got them secured in a place. And here's why. Because there are other religions who think whoever contained the ashes of the red heifer is going to control the world. Now, soon some of these will be on display. We talked to the man who actually bred them and who's brought them into Israel, and there's incredible excitement as you look at these animals. We even have the video of them arriving by plane into Ben-Gurion Airport and then being taken to their special place. And so here's a priest, and he's inspecting. That's how close they inspected. I mean, the details of this are just wonderful, and they're very important to them because they want to do the sacrifice exactly right. Now, we saw as well that there are some specifications concerning the red heifer. Things that the sacrifice had to be outside the camp and no yoke. In other words, it couldn't be a wild animal. And each of these are an important aspect of Christ, how he fulfilled it on the cross. And so here's the color, all red, symbol of blood and atonement. It had to be a female. You see, Christ died for the church. The church is called a bride, a female bride. It had to be no blemishes. Christ was perfect, had no sin, no yoke. Jesus willingly went to the cross. It was interesting because Jesus was crucified outside the city. And listen to this verse in Hebrews chapter 9. I read this verse. I want you to see this is in the Bible because sometimes people say, you ought to be preaching the New Testament. Well, Hebrews is in the New Testament. Listen, it says this. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with his hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then a little bit later on, it talks about in Hebrews that it said that this sacrifice, we're talking now in chapter 13, it says this, For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for the sins are burned outside the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Wow. You see the description? It's incredible how perfect the lineup is. And so the priest would have to be richly clean to offer the sacrifice, but became unclean by performing it. And here's what the New Testament says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so a man who was unclean would go out. The priest would look at him. He would sprinkle him with the ash and the water. The priest would remain unclean, had to stay outside the city, while the man who had the disease or touched somebody dead, pronounced clean, could now go back. You see, that was my situation. I was stained by sin. I was unclean. Jesus died for me. He was my red heifer. He was my cleansing power. And so I'm fit now to go to heaven. and Christ bore my sin. What a great picture it is. And so that's what's in store here. So that's why I say that this is important, both for the Jew and for the Christian, but also for Islam and for other religions that are right there, because they think whoever has the ashes is going to control the world. Now, let's go a step further, because as we look at this, here's something that just came in the fall. And it talks about building the third temple, and it talks about how that they're actually gearing up to take a fast train that can take people right from Ben Gurion Airport right to where the third temple is, so that they can actually begin to do sacrifices and worship on the Temple Mount. Do you see the plans that are being made? So you can imagine if they're planning a train, and if this is announced, and they think that they now have red heifers that can be cremated, and they can purify a Sanhedrin, and then a priesthood, and then individuals, you can imagine the number of visitors that are going to come to the Temple Mount. And that's what's causing the problem. Because since 1967, there's been this status quo. And the status quo said, well, Islam worships up there. And the Jews, one by one, may be able to sneak up there, but they couldn't do a ceremony together. They couldn't really even pray up there. And Christians weren't even allowed to bring a Bible up there. And now, all of a sudden, all the world is wanting to do this exactly as the Bible said would be in the last days. I'm going to go a step further with this, because you see, the Bible says this, that in the last days, Israel will return to animal sacrifices, the book of Hosea, chapter 3. Isn't that incredible? In the last days. And there's been no sacrifice in Israel for over 1,970 years. Now it's starting to come. Now there's interest in this thing. And the Bible says that would be in the last days. Or look at this next one. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says the Antichrist, he's going to make a treaty. And I think among the things that they will do is to begin to sacrifice again. I'm going to go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. And in one of our future studies, we're going to look at this 77s, or 70 weeks it's called, and it talks about how that something very special is going to take place there. But then it says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it says, after the crucifixion of Christ, the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many, the word many is for leaders of Israel, for one period of 7 or 1 week. In the midst of the week, he, the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the last days, Israel is going to return to animal sacrifice. But the Bible says in the last days, when they promise a period of 7 years of peace, something's going to be, I'm going to say, dreadful. It's going to take an Antichrist to make a peace. And when he does, based on Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're going to set down their weapons. They're going to be unsuspecting that the Antichrist, who made the promise that they could go there and begin to worship, all of a sudden is going to stop it. And Revelation 13 says this, he sets up an image of himself and it requires worship to himself. Wow. So many things are taking place that they say that could be just ahead of us. And so that's why these important passages, both from the Old Testament and from the New, talk about exactly the situation that we're watching there. I want us to go to the chart. Remember, earlier in the week, I mentioned to you that you can download this chart. And you see, this is the church age. This is where we are now. And the rapture occurs. Christians are called home. But here, I believe, is where this Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 takes place, because you see, the Antichrist is the one who will make a treaty with Israel and promise them something that they haven't been able to do peacefully. I really believe it's going to be to go back into worship on the Temple Mount. And in the middle of this 7-year period, he's going to break his promise. And based on Revelation, that's exactly the time. Revelation 12 is when Satan gets kicked out of heaven. Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist sets up an image to be worshipped, requires that people take a mark of the beast and only worship him and can't worship anyone but him. I think we're being perfectly set up for that. Now, let me tell you this, that the tribulation can't begin until the Antichrist is revealed. And the Antichrist can't be revealed until the church is gone. And the Bible promised, we looked at this in one of our first studies this week, that the wrath of God poured out in the tribulation it will begin and the church will not go through that wrath. Yeah, we go through hard times, but we don't go through the wrath of God. Why? Because you see, Jesus, who is our substitute, who is our sacrifice, paid on the cross for my sin, for your sin, and the wrath of God poured out on the Lord Jesus for our case. And so that's why this chart is important. We'll be referring to it in a whole different ways and different studies. I think you'll find it very important. Now, let me fast forward again. We've looked at historically, how come the Jews think that the Temple Mount is theirs. We've looked at prophetically, what the Bible says it's important will be. We've looked at archaeology. We know where the Temple Mount is located. And now we come to current events that are taking place right now. Because you see, Ben Veer, who's Israel's Minister of National Security, well, he wanted to visit the Temple Mount. And he was told, you know what, you can't do that. You're going to cause a disturbance because that's reserved only for Islam and the Palestinian Authority to go up there. And he said, no. He said that the Temple Mount is ours. I agree with him. I know the status quo was that they could continue to worship. Islam could continue. And Israel's saying, yeah, you can. But this man's saying, I should at least be able to go and visit this holy site. And so sure enough, when he does that, matter of fact, not just him, but others went up there and they were able to pray. And they said, no, it's causing a riot. It's interesting because you see, Ben Veer went up there on a 13-minute visit. It's taped. It's nonviolent. It's within the status quo rights. And yet, here's how the headlines produced the story. It said this, that they stormed the Temple Mount. Let me tell you this. The video shows that it was a peaceful walking across the whole temple site. Sure, he read from the scriptures. Sure, he might have prayed. But all within the rights that the United Nations Security Council has agreed to. I'm going to go just a step further. Because you see now, January the 6th, Israel condemns the United Nations Security Council session on Ben Veer's temple visit. Why? Because they said it's within the right. He did nothing out of the right. He simply exercised his right that's been there all along, ever since the United Nations gave that permission. But the news reports it quite differently. It says this, is Ben Veer preparing a holy war against the Palestinians? And so here he is, down at the Western Wall, down at the base, the gutter, he prepares to go up and begin to pray. He's not the only one that wants to do this. Matter of fact, when we were there in November, here's a rabbi that I saw. This is the back side of the East Gate. This is really on the Temple Mount area. And this man was there with an entourage of maybe 12 to 15 people to protect him. He simply wanted to go there and to pray and to read scripture. Perfectly within the rights of the status quo agreement. But what a ruckus can be caused by that. But because Ben Veer is in part of the new cabinet, you could only imagine what is taking place. So when he does his 13-minute visit, here's what takes place. Now, Jordan, King Abdullah, he goes and he says, I'm going to get UAE, and we're going to go, and we're going to appeal to the United Nations, because he said, that's causing a riot. That could cause a riot on the Temple Mount. My friend, do you understand? When I go there, they take away our Bibles because they say that the Bible is a book that could start a riot. And not only does King Jordan go there and the UAE goes there, but the next thing I know, I mean, the same day later and just a few minutes later, now China is involved in it. And they've got a special session of the UN Council being brought into session. And it wasn't long until Turkey says, hey, you know what? We don't think he should be allowed to go there. And so you see how the news is spreading quickly? Let me show you one that's kind of embarrassing to me. The Biden administration, they say, shame on Israel. Now, I say that because you see, I think I showed in one of our first day's lesson that since the year 2015, Israel has been reprimanded 140 times by the United Nations Security Council. The other nations in the world, less than half of that. All of them together. I'm talking North Korea. I'm talking Burma. I'm talking Russia. Think of the violations that some of these countries, I'm talking China. All of them together, less than half of the times that Israel has been reprimanded. And this is an example of what they get reprimanded for. And so here's Biden. He doesn't understand even the biblical nature of it. He doesn't. You know what? Here's what they said. The Palestinian Authority said this. There's not one stone that shows Jewish occupation. Folks, that's a lie. I can take you to a site just off of the Temple Mount where I call it the dump of the Temple Mount. As they do excavations below its surface, many of them done by the Palestinians, so they haul the rocks there. 20,000 tons, not 20,000 pounds, 20,000 tons of rocks are there. And on them, Hebrew is written on the rocks. They're cutting them up so you can't read the Hebrew. Hebrew pottery is there. It's clearly Jewish. The Bible shows it's Jewish. The history shows it's Jewish. The pottery, the archaeology shows it's Jewish. And yet all the nations are coming together saying, yeah, Israel shouldn't be there. I find it almost embarrassing because now the United States says this, that Israel is deepening a split. They're saying that, no, that they don't have the right to go there. They clearly do. The law is there. But do you understand that the Biden administration does not like Israel? Every time they sided with the Palestinian side. That's why we're watching the horrible thing that's taking place in Iran as they prepare to do nuclear weapons. That's why we're watching the buildup on the eastern border with Syria and Russia and other invading factors, all exactly as the Bible said would be in the last days. And so the United Nations call it a special Security Council meeting. I think it's important for you to understand and to see some of the things that are taking place there. Because you see, when they ascend to the Temple Mount, remember, they see this sign warning. According to Torah law, entering the Temple Mount area is strictly forbidden due to the holiness of the site. Why? Because they're unclean. They need the ashes of the red heifer. And so here's a group trying to get the red heifers that are meet the qualifications to cremate so they can begin the whole process of sacrificing. Notice that, sacrificing on the Temple Mount, what the Bible said. But in the meantime, status quo says they should be able to go there and pray. Matter of fact, 50,000, 51,000 went there. But all of a sudden, one man goes there, and the Security Council is meeting and reprimanding. I think you should see the harshness and the language that is going on there. I'm going to show you a video clip, and you'll hear how sharp and how harsh and how ugly it is. And remember, perfectly within the law, regardless of what they say, here's what the Bible says. Here's what's so important for us. It shows that we're living in the last day, because in the last days, the Temple Mount would be an incredible excitement, an incredible importance. And the Bible predicted over 2,000 years ago, my friend, we're watching it take place. Listen and watch this video from the United Nations Security Council meeting.
Haram al-Sharif will not fall. I repeat, al-Haram al-Sharif will never fall. Will not fall. It will stand for generations to come. It has outlasted Begin, Shamir, and Sharon, and will outlast Netanyahu, Ben-Gvir, and Erdogan. Those who pursue the temporal and spatial division of Al-Haram or plan to overtake it do not comprehend what it represents for all Palestinians, for Arabs, and for Muslims around the world. They do not comprehend the sensitivity of this holy site for billions of people in all corners of the globe. Listen carefully to me. They should stop you. This council should stop you. It is their responsibility. The responsibility of this council and all states to uphold international law and the historic status quo. They should stop you, but make no mistake, if they don't, our Palestinian people will. Mr. President, one should not lose sight of another critical fact. Al-Haram al-Sharif is in occupied East Jerusalem, an integral part of the occupied Palestinian territory, a fact repeatedly affirmed by this Council and the General Assembly. These are the facts that you have adopted. Also, Israel has no claim and no right to sovereignty over the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and therefore no rightful claim over Al-Haram al-Sharif. Israeli actions have nothing to do with religious freedom.
Well, as you can see, there's a great divided opinion. And when he mentions that, he's talking about the Temple Mount. He's talking about Mount Moriah. Al-Haram al-Sharif, yeah, that's the Jewish, Islamic way to say it. But they have every right. The status quo gives him that right. Do you see the bitterness that's there? Do you see that they call this important? But they have no historical and certainly no Bible to back it up. But the Jews do. Now, his warning was stern and it was harsh. But I want you to see that it goes from that to hatred. We're going to watch another video. And the reason I'm showing you this is because, you see, what's carried in the headlines is that Israel gets reprimanded by the United Nations Security Council. But all they're doing is exercising religious freedom as given to them by the Security Council laws on status quo. And Israel gave up the Temple Mount for status quo voluntarily. They won Jerusalem, and they also won the Temple Mount. It's theirs. God gave it to them, and they won it back at a war. So here's our next video. Listen now how the rhetoric has gone from just, I'm going to say, bitterness to harshness and name-calling.
ونذكرك يا جبان يا خنزير بأن للأردن حدود مع فلسطين تزيد عن 300 كيلومتر وهي قنبلة موقوتة ستنفجر بوقتك ووجهك وبأمثالك يا جبان.
يجب أن نقف موقف جاد وصلب خلف جلالة الملك حتى نشعرهم لا بل نرعبهم وهم، وكما يعلم الجميع بأن اليهود من أجبن شعوب العالم. مجرد ما مثل ما حكينا سابقا خربشة على النهر، الكل بلجوا إلى حصونهم. هذا موضوع خط أحمر، نفتدي القدس والمقدسات بالمهج والأرواح ونبذل الغالي والنفيس، ومستعدين لأن نكون شهداء ومشاريع شهداء وأول من يستخدم العصا والقنبلة والبندقية تجاه هذا الكيان المغتصب.
والجميع الأردنيين يتحولوا إلى فدائيين واستشهاديين من أجل فلسطين ومن أجل الأقصى. أبناء القردة والخنازير يجب أن يعلموا بأن الرد من الشعب الأردني والفلسطيني الآن ربما يسمع كلام، ولكن هذا الكلام يعبر عن بركان قادم، لأن الرد سيكون بالرصاص قريبا بإذن الله.
إن أرادوا أن يحولوها إلى حرب دينية فستكون نهايتهم بإذن الله.
والتاريخ خير شاهد على هزائم اليهود. وبحب أحكي لكل يهودي موجود بفلسطين إنه الأيام دول، وعندنا هون في ولادات بتولد، وراح يجي يوم نقتحم في تل أبيب، وهذا وعد من الله.
إلا ندعم موقف جلالة الملك ونقف خلفه داعمين ومؤيدين حتى ينطق الحجر: يا مسلم هذا يهودي تعال فاقتله. وهم يعانون في الليل والنهار من هذا الكلام.
Well, I mentioned to you that it's gone from criticism to, I'm going to say, harshness and bitterness. Isn't it amazing? They call them pigs. They call them sons of apes. They talk about murder. They talk about using stones and bombs. Let me ask you this. If this was turned around, if the Jews were saying this about the Palestinian people, can you imagine how the world would be in arms and up in an uproar? And for sure, the Security Council would be called in against them for the name-calling. But they sit in front of the United Nations Security Council, and they don't have history on their side. They don't have archaeology on their side. They don't have anything on their side other than if you repeat a lie long enough and loud enough, then people might believe that it's true. You see, what we're watching here is just one indicator, great indicator for the last days. We've offered a download. You can go to our webpage and you can hit the download button and you'll see a little download. It's a PDF that says prophecies that confirm the Bible, great indicators of the last day. And that's only one of 10 that we mention in there. But I can't think of any that's more important than the one that we're watching right now. Again, I want you to see that the Bible said that there's going to be such a controversy about this that it's going to take an antichrist. Someone's going to have to come and bring peace to the region. Someone somehow is going to have to get all the world to be peaceful and Israel to be peaceful. And Israel's going to have to believe it to the extent that they're willing to set down their arms. And when they set down their arms, that's when the antichrist is going to take advantage of them and is going to put them into a situation described in the Bible. Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 13. We're going to do a study on that, but you'll see that now the antichrist elevates himself, says, you can't worship God, you can't do animal sacrifice, you got to worship me, and you got to take this mark called the image of the beast. Well, one more video I want to show you. Here's an eman, and if you think that they're peaceful in any way, you've got another thing coming. Watch this short clip.
Make sure this is clear in your mind. You think that they are your friends? No, they're the enemies of Allah. So if they're the enemies of Allah, how are they your close friends? I want our children to understand this well. The non-Muslims are the enemies of Allah. Therefore, they are your enemies. Some of them don't even believe that Allah exists. You want somebody like that to be a close friend of yours? Allahumma a'izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa adhill al-kafarata wal-mushrikeen. Allahumma dammir a'da' al-deen wa ahlik al-zanadiqa wal-mulhideen.
It's not just them against the Jew. It's against all non-Muslims. My friend, that's why you see Christians and Jews aligning in this particular case. You see, the Bible spoke about this. Hosea chapter 3, in the last days, no sacrifice for a long time. Things are going to come about so that they begin to sacrifice again. That's where the ashes of the red heifer, that's where these heifers coming into Israel and the Temple Institute, they bring it to pass. The controversy on the Temple Mount, that's taken us right to today. My friend, God spoke this hundreds of years ago, and we're watching it take place right now. That's why, here's what I'm going to tell you. I believe that all the indicators are converging to this point in time now. It's converging, saying that we're living in the last days. We need to be ready for Jesus to come. And as we look at that, that's only one of 10 indicators that's mentioned in the book. But what an important one. Here's my question. Are you ready?